Patient perseverance. This morning we want to define the terms, look to examples, and encourage one another. Patient perseverance. If you are looking for two verses that summarize what we are thinking about this morning, they are to be found in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. The ESV translation of those verses says, "And we desire each one of you to show the same earnestness, to have the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." As we contrast the wisdom that is from above with the wisdom of the world would have us to think about things like, don't wait. Why wait? Rush on ahead with no regard for the consequences. The word of our culture is now. And what we see so often in our world is instant gratification quickly followed by lingering disappointment. And so from the beginning, God has called His people to patient perseverance. When we look at the words that the Spirit uses in the New Covenant, there is a word that is in a noun and a verb form that is most often translated patience. And that word is most often used with regard to things. There is another word the Spirit uses that's both translated as a noun and a verb that most often occurs in our English Bibles as the word long-suffering. And the difference between patience and long-suffering is that long-suffering more often than not refers to suffering long with people. And so patience has to do literally with abiding under something. An abiding under of something. Where when we think about long suffering, we are thinking about suffering long with people. Not suffering short with them, but suffering long with them. And so in Colossians chapter 1, verse 11, we have both words, patience and long suffering with joy. It is God's will that we would both be patient and long-suffering. This morning we are considering patient perseverance. And so as we define the terms, patient perseverance is the ability to maintain steady effort toward a goal despite difficulties, setbacks, delays, coupled with a calm and positive attitude. And so Colossians 1, verse 11, patience and long-suffering with joy. Patience is the capacity to endure difficult situations without becoming annoyed or anxious. It involves accepting the time and effort required to achieve goals. Perseverance is the quality of continuing with something, even though it is difficult, staying motivated until the job is done and not giving up. In essence, patient perseverance means waiting with a positive spirit, but fiercely never giving up. So as we think about patience, if we are to answer the call of God to be patient, then we have to go about the business of accepting delays, calmly accepting the truth that things may take longer. We may have to abide up under something longer than we expected to or that we really want to. Patience has to do with tolerating hardship. Patience has to do with not giving up easily. Perseverance, on the other hand, involves continued effort. It's about constantly working towards a goal, even when faced with setbacks. Perseverance has to do with determination, a strong will and commitment to see things through to completion, to abide up under whatever God calls us to abide up under, until the end. And perseverance calls us to overcome the obstacles that are going to be thrown our way by the enemy, the stumbling blocks that the devil would use to encourage us to lose faith, to lose patience, to stop persevering. And so, yes, patient perseverance, those two things are intertwined. Patience enables perseverance. Patience provides the calm focus needed to persevere, while perseverance can lead to the development of patience. But as we think about the key differences, we have to think about focus. Patience focuses on enduring the process, while perseverance focuses on achieving the goal. And so here's this goal, and how am I going to reach this goal? Well, I've got to persevere, but I'm in the process, and so what must I do while I'm in the process? Well, I got to be patient. I got to bear up under this. I got to abide up under this. It involves action. Patience is more about acceptance, while perseverance is more about active effort. There are some things that God has called us to abide up under, but while we're abiding up under those things, there are things to be thought, and there are things to be said, and there are things to be done. There is action on our part that is required. And then outcome. Patience can lead to inner peace and resilience, but perseverance is what leads to the accomplishment of the goal. And so as we think about the nature of suffering from Genesis to Revelation, make no mistake about it, God from the beginning has called His people to patient perseverance. And as we look at everybody from Adam and Eve to the apostle that Jesus loved, the apostle John in the book of Revelation, and as we consider the people of God that we are reading about right now in our reading of God's Word in the Daily Bible, where we are in August of 2025, the prophets that we have already read about, the prophet Jeremiah that we are reading about now, and then we will turn our attention to the prophets Daniel and the prophet Ezekiel. What we see in the prophets is that oftentimes the prophets were beaten, they were imprisoned, they were stoned, and they were even killed for speaking God's word. They suffered physically. They suffered physical persecution. Oftentimes in the lives of the prophets, we see that they suffered emotional distress. Ahab and Jezebel really did a number on Elijah. The southern kingdom of Judah, they caused the prophet Jeremiah untold emotional distress. Both of those men had just had it. And they talked to God about it. And they were just over life. They were tired of abiding up under the physical persecution and the emotional distress. And so oftentimes in the life of the prophets, whether we're talking about Elijah or whether we're talking about Isaiah or Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, they experienced social isolation. The prophets were often marginalized and ostracized by their communities, by their very families. The people of God from the beginning have experienced opposition and mockery, constant opposition, constant mockery, and even accusations of lying. And so as we think about the nature of God's suffering, it's all over the place of the suffering of God's people. It's all over the place. As we think about the reasons for their suffering, oftentimes the prophets suffer because they were delivering unpopular truths. Ahab and Jezebel, they didn't like what Elijah said. Manasseh did not like what the prophet Isaiah said. The Holy Spirit doesn't tell us this, but He may be alluding to it in Hebrews 11, verse 37, when He speaks of those who by faith patiently persevered. And He said the world wasn't worthy of them, and He said that there were those in the past that had been sawn in two. And that's what Jewish tradition tells us about Isaiah, that Manasseh had just had enough of Isaiah's message, and that he had him sawn in two. Oftentimes, God's people suffered because they were confronting idolatry and sin. They were speaking out against idolatry and moral corruption. They were calling people to consider their ways. They were calling people to think about the truth that they couldn't even blush anymore. They were calling people to consider that their hearts weren't focused on God, that, yeah, they could walk around talking about the temple, and look at all these Sabbath days, and we got this great priesthood and all that, but that their hearts were far from God, that their hearts were just full of sin, that they were deceiving themselves, and what was in them was just wickedness. And so oftentimes what we see in God's people is that they suffer because their suffering is a direct consequence of their faithfulness to God's calling and their obedience to His commands. And so as we consider the significance of suffering that we read about in God's Word, what we have in all of these examples are people who are examples of faith and patience. The suffering of the prophet serves as an example of enduring faith and patience for believers. We look into them and we see people, as James would tell us about Elijah in James chapter 5. Elijah was a man, quoting the NIV, Elijah was a man just like us. Some of the older translations talk about how Elijah was a man who had a nature like ours. NIV cuts to the root of what those Greek words mean. Elijah was just like us. He was just a man. And because he was just a man, he was ostracized from people. They didn't like what he was saying. He was persecuted because of what he was saying. He was hungry because of what he was saying. But he endured. He abided up under it. And if Elijah can do it, you can do it too. The significance of their suffering is seen in the testing of their faith. Their suffering tested their faith and it revealed the depth of their commitment to God. Jeremiah would say, listen, I know this. It's not in man to direct his own way. We need some help there. And God says, I'm here to help. And Jeremiah says, okay, in 17, 9 and 10, he says, listen, I know that the heart is deceitful. And I know that I want to stand up here in front of everybody and proclaim my love for Jesus. And I want to sing with all of my heart, oh, how I love Jesus. But those are just words. Whether I'm speaking them or whether I'm saying them, they're just words. And so what does the testing of my faith do? It reveals myself to me. The testing of my faith, it shows me who I really am. The testing of my faith, it says to me, this is who you really are. This is how you really feel about God. This is really where the rubber of faith meets the road of reality in your heart. And so we look at these testings of faith in the faithful men and women that we read about in Hebrews the 11th chapter. And the point of that is, be like them. You can be like them. They're just like you. And you can be just like them. The significance of their suffering is seen that sometimes people suffer because it was just preparation for something else that was coming. And maybe something else is headed your way too. Maybe something else is headed my way. Maybe something else is headed our way. And so the experiences of the past, they can help us prepare for the trials and tribulations of the future. The significance of the suffering is seen in God's response to it, the compassion and the mercy that the remnant, that the faithful few who patiently persevered, God rewarded them. And Jesus has promised reward for those who patiently endure to the end. And so as we encourage one another this morning to be like the faithful people of God from Job, who lived in the days of the patriarch, to the Apostle John, who is the revelator of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation, from A to Z, as we consider all of those examples, let us encourage one another to be like them, to patiently persevere. And so here are the verb verses in the New Covenant. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. That is something that we do. That is an action that we participate in while we are bearing up under temptation. The call is to be patient in tribulation. It is commendable before God when we patiently persevere. It is commendable before God when we patiently persevere, 1 Peter 2:20, when we are having to patiently persevere unjustly. That's what 1 Peter 2:20 is about. Hebrews 12, verse 7, we have to endure the discipline of our Father in heaven because he whom he loves, he He disciplines, He chastises, and His discipline, it comes in a lot of different types of ways. Sometimes it's just instruction, but sometimes it involves a rod of correction. And so we have to endure the discipline of our Father in heaven. And our God, who is love, and Jesus, who is the exact representation and the perfect manifestation of the true and living God. 1 Corinthians 13:7, agape love endures all things. Someone said, I don't want to abide up under this. Well, maybe you don't. Maybe I don't want to abide up under the things that I've been called to abide up under in my life. But the true and living God who is love and who defines love for us in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, he says, listen, this is how love acts. This ain't theoretical. We're not talking about theology now and pie in the sky and all that. No, this is life under the sun. This is how God's people, this is how Christians, this is how new covenant, born again believers are to live. Agape love endures all things. Let us encourage one another to patiently persevere. Noun verses. Red letters. Jesus. Luke 8:15. Bear fruit with patience. Luke 21:19. By your patience possess your soul. Revelation 2. Revelation 3, to the collective churches, to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Thyatira, to the church at Philadelphia, Jesus would say to them, I know your patience. If Jesus had a revelation for the seven churches of the DMV, if you will, and we were blessed to be one of those, what would the Spirit say to us that Jesus would reveal? He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches, Jesus said. Could he say of us collectively, I know your patience. I know that you, in the past, I know that you persevered and have patience. How exciting that must have been for those Christians in Ephesus and Thyatira and Philadelphia for such a time as their time was to hear Jesus say that of them. Let us encourage one another to bear fruit with patience, to possess our souls with patience, to live in such a way that we can be known by Jesus Himself, that we can be known by the head of the body, of the Annandale body. The head of the Annandale body is Jesus. Let us live in such a way that we might be known by our head as a collective that is patient, that is persevering. Romans 5, 3 and 4, glory in tribulations, glory in, that word is so nonspecific. Tribulation, it just means pressure. There are all types of pressures in life. And so we're called to glory in them. Well, that's not natural. It's not natural for me. If it's natural for you, something might be wrong with you. I'm just saying, I don't know. Glory in tribulation. I have to learn that, right? James talks a lot about that at the beginning of James chapter 1. There's some things that you're going to have to learn in Christ. You're going to have to learn to count some things all joy, some things that you might not have and otherwise counted as joy. Glory in pressures, knowing that pressures produce perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. So Romans 8, verse 25, Romans 8, perhaps the most positive chapter in all of the New Covenant. Romans 8 is where God would have us to live. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There's no separation from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Romans 8 is where God would have us to live. Too many of us live in 7. Oh, wretched man that I am, what will I do? And what we have to do in order to live in 8, to get out of 7, is to go back to 6. And die with Christ. And that is something that we have to do daily. I die daily, the Apostle Paul said. And so we die with Christ and we get out of Romans 7 and now we're living in Romans 8 where there is no condemnation. But as we live in Romans 8, we ask the same question they're asking in Revelation 6. How long? How long do we have to wait for our hope to be fully realized? And God hasn't told us that. And that's the hard part, right? If I know that I have to abide up under something for 20 minutes or 20 days or even 20 years, it's like, okay, I've got an end. I know when this is going to end. But so many things in life, we don't know how long we're going to have to abide up under whatever it is. And so we must learn to eagerly wait for it. Eagerly wait for our glorification, the final act of our salvation. Justified by the blood of the Lamb, sanctified by the Holy Spirit, patiently persevering until Jesus comes in all of His glory. And we experience glorification. Let's encourage one another to patiently persevere. The church at Thessalonica, chapter 1, verse 3, your patience of hope. It was known by God, by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, revealed to the apostles and then their experience with that church. 2 Thessalonians 1, 4, your patience and faith and all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. They didn't just have pressures, but they had been persecuted. And they're being commended because of their patience and faith and what they had experience, how they were abiding up under it. 1 Timothy 6, verse 4, this local preacher, this evangelist, Timothy, who was doing local work in Ephesus at that time, 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, listen, Timothy, there are some things, as a man of God, as a preacher of the Word of God, there are some things that you don't need to be thinking about. And there are some things that you don't need to be talking about, and there are some things that you don't need to be doing. And for all of us, who have preached the Word of God and who have done local work, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy and Titus are hard to read. Because that's what those books are about. They're, okay, here are some things that you don't need to be thinking about and you don't need to be doing. And so we read through that and, you know, it's like, oh, you know, kind of wanted to do that. Kind of wanted to think about that. Kind of wanted to, oh. But from the beginning, listen to me very carefully. From the beginning, here's what God has done. God has said, okay, don't do this. But He didn't just stop there. He didn't just stop when He said, don't do this. For every don't do this, He has given us a do this. So don't think about these things. Don't pursue these things. Don't be involved in these things. But pursue patience. Pursue it. Pursue the ability to abide up under the difficulties in life. James 1, 3 and 4, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work. See, there's where your attitude comes in. Patience and long-suffering with joy. We can abide up under something and have a bad attitude. Everybody knows that we're abiding up under something that we're miserable. We just have this look on our face that we just... we're mad at life and we're mad at the world and we're mad at God. And you know, Job's wife's just like, you know what? Just curse God and die. Be done with all this. And basically what Job's reaction to his wife is no, I'm going to let patience have its perfect work. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to patiently persevere through this. And even though God slays me, Job 13, verse 15, yet I will trust in Him. That's what God is calling us to in Christ Jesus. So let's encourage one another to patiently persevere. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Life in Christ is not a sprint. It's not even a marathon, really, because a marathon is 26.2, right? I mean, this is a race of endurance. Let us run with endurance. Well, how long am I going to have to run? I don't know. Our brother Jim Keith had 86 years. I recently met Ed Singletary for the first time. He's 95 years old, one of the founding members of the Annandale Church back in the 60s. Still running at 95. My dad only got 71. My best friend from Birmingham, his dad had a heart attack and died inside of a church building on a work day. On a work cleanup day. Let's all get together at the building on this day and we're going to clean the building up. And had a heart attack and died on the front row. 50 years of age. I don't know how long you're going to have to run. But I know what God and Jesus and the Spirit has called you to. And I know what God has called all of us to do for one another, and that is to encourage one another to keep running. When David's son died, he got up. He washed his face. He went back to his life, and someone said, "Well, what are you doing?" He said, "Well, there's nothing I can do for him now because he died. But the one thing that I can do is I can go where he is. Heaven is heaven because God is there. But when someone that we love joins him there, it makes that place even more special, beloved." Do you think that Judy Weatherby is going to stop running? Of course not. Why? Because she wants to be where God is, where Jesus has gone before us, where Jim is. Let us encourage one another not to stop running, but to fixate on Jesus. And to always be looking unto Him. We count them blessed. We count Jim blessed. Jim suffered at the end of his life. But I never had a conversation with him in which he wasn't positive and upbeat and gentle and encouraging. You've heard of the perseverance of Job. What about Jim Weatherby? There's a good modern day example of someone who patiently persevered. And there are others among us even now who are patiently persevering through all types of different trials and pressures. And so we have to give all diligence in our lives in Christ. You can't become a Christian and then just put your life in neutral and just coast into heaven. That's not how life in Christ is lived. That is not how Jesus lived, and that is not the life that He has called us to. There are some nouns and there are some verbs. We need to understand the nouns, and then we need to follow in the footsteps of the verbs of those who have went before us. And here's the great news of the book of Revelation. We're not alone. You're not alone. Whatever you're going through in your life, whatever you're having to abide up under, you're not the first person that's ever suffered from that. You're not the only person in this assembly that is abiding up under whatever it is that you're abiding up under. And so when John gets this revelation from Jesus and he presents it to the seven churches of Asia, he says, "Listen, I want y'all to know that, yeah, I'm your brother, but I'm also your companion in this." He wasn't sitting in an ivory tower somewhere with a nice desk and a nice comfortable chair and air conditioning writing this letter. With a cup of coffee. Exiled on the Isle of Patmos. Socially ostracized from other Christians. He was by himself and Roman guards. He says, "Listen, I want y'all to know I'm your brother and your companion in the tribulation and in the kingdom and in the patience of Jesus Christ." What is the book of Revelation about? It's about the patience and the faith of the saints. Whatever that fiery red dragon, that serpent of old, the devil and Satan, whatever he throws at us, whatever we have to bear up under it. And don't lose faith. Be convicted. Trust from your heart. Surrender to your will. Live in all good conscience that you're serving the King of Kings and not the Roman Emperor. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. What does everybody in Hebrews 11 have in common? By faith they did something. By faith they obeyed commands, whatever the commands were of their time. Whether they were living in the days of the patriarchs or under the law of Moses, or whether they were Christians, they were obeying the commandments of God within the covenant relationship that they had with Him. That's how we shall live, by patiently persevering through whatever we have to abide up under, all the while keeping the commandments and keeping the faith. And so how does Jesus fit into all this? Well, He's the example of what patient perseverance looks like. And whatever excuse that I make to try to justify myself from having a bad attitude or not abiding up under something or quitting, He just takes it right away from me. Because nobody had to be more patient in trials and tribulations than the one that had to live a sinless life in order for what He came to do to count. I cannot imagine the pressure. If you said to me this morning, I want you to purpose that between now and the time that you get to lunch, that you're not going to sin. Just the anxiety of that. The pressure. That sort of stuff just gets in my head, right? And so now I'm struggling not to think things, or I'm being so careful about what I'm going to say, and I'm driving the speed limit. Stopping at all the stop signs. I'm not running red lights, right? Just the consciousness of it all. Jesus didn't just endure the cross, which is our word. He endured hostility from sinners. I don't know if y'all know this about Jesus or not, but the world hated Him. That's why they crucified Him. And He endured all that, all the while being tempted, yet without sin. Hallelujah, what a Savior. And so we consider Him who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself, lest we become weary and discouraged in our souls because of what we're having to abide up under, which pales in comparison to what He abided up under. Will I make it? Will you? Will we? Well, let's encourage one another to make it, and let's encourage each other to think about the words of Jesus. He who endures to the end will be saved. The end of what? The end of whatever. The end of whatever that you have to abide up under. Until you get to the other side where He is. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. We've seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. We've seen it by faith. We accept it by faith. We hide it in our heart and we live in hope. And we encourage one another to make it. We encourage ourselves to make it. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. There is a process here. Things that we have to abide up under. As we're abiding up under them, we're doing the will of God. And then after we have patiently persevered, we receive the promise. Here's the good news. as we bring our thoughts to a close. God will help you. I'll help you as much as I can. I'll encourage you. Will you encourage me? I mean, I need encouragement too. The Ramseys need encouragement. The West need encouragement. Wherever you are in your life, make no mistake about it. As John said to the seven churches of Asia, I, your brother and companion in the tribulation. I am your brother and your companion in the pressures of this world that we all face as Christians who serve a master who told us, don't be surprised if the world hates you and the world persecutes you, because the world hated me and the world persecuted you. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world and you can too. And so as we encourage one another, let's encourage one another to consider that God will help all of us. He is the God of patience. And so Colossians 1 contains a prayer that we need to pray for ourselves. We need to pray for one another. We need to collectively pray that God would strengthen us with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. And then in full assurance of faith, we need to hide 2 Thessalonians 3:5 in our heart, that the Lord would direct our hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we are so thankful that You are loving and merciful and gracious, that You suffer long with us, that You're not willing that any of us should perish, but that we should all come to repentance. And we pray, Father, that our hearts would be set on You and Your will, that as we learn better, that we would do better. Father, we are mindful of one another this morning as we recognize that everyone among us is bearing up under something that is difficult, that is hard, that is a pressure, that is weighing heavy on them at this time. We pray, Father, that You would comfort, that You would heal, that You would bless, that You would strengthen, that You would strengthen each one of us with all might according to Your glorious power, that You would bless us with patience, that You would bless us with long-suffering, that You would bless us with joy, that You would direct our hearts into Your love and into the patience of Jesus. And as we consider what He endured in His example, Father, we fall before Your face in humility and gratitude and thankfulness and praise. Thank You for sending Him. And thank You for all that You've done so that we might be more than we are, so that we might be where You are in all of Your glory. Father, until glorification comes for us, we pray that we would patiently wait. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Number 488, Have Thine Own Way. Let's stand together as we sing.